We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, Tommy. What in the world is going on in the NBA today with the Boston Celtics?
It's crazy. It's been a pretty heavy 24 to 48 hours in the NBA. First, you have the situation in Phoenix with their owner, Robert Sarver, and coming out and saying that he's going to try to sell the team because he's been suspended for an entire year. Due to the workplace culture there in Phoenix, that's already happened. That's going on right now as far as his announcement. But then just within the last couple of hours, Boston Celtics head coach Ime Udoka apparently had an improper, intimate, and consensual relationship with a female member of the team's staff. That's a violation of the franchise's code of conduct. And ESPN, Adrian Wojnarowski, is reporting that Udoka could be suspended for the entire season coming up for the NBA. And that's a big Woj bomb that was dropped within the last couple of hours. It's kind of been a heavy couple of news days for the NBA.
It's called, again, improper, intimate, and consensual relationship. I don't know what's going on. But now ESPN just this morning saying it could be a full season suspension. This is a team that expects to compete for an NBA title this year. I don't know. I'm going to step back from it because it's weird. It seems like that punishment for a team that's competing at a high level, like everyone's trying to say, oh, it's consent. Well, something is going on here. Or the Celtics wouldn't drop a hammer like this, I would think. Like this, there's something else to this. There has to be, right? Like this is a strange situation.
Yeah, it is. And you also think about just the way Udoka has been celebrated in the NBA as a bright up-and-coming star. I mean, he led the Celtics to the Eastern Conference Championship, and they went to the NBA Finals against the Warriors in his very first season as head coach. I mean, the Celtics sort of crowned him as the next, big-time coaching star in the NBA. He was a disciple of Greg Popovich in San Antonio for a long time as an assistant down there. This is quite a disappointing turn in, up to this point, what has been a really bright future for Udoka.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to make of this story. Like, it's been a hard one for me to follow. So, I'm stepping back on it because I think there's something else here we don't know yet. So I'm not going to sit here and, like, say the Celtics are doing the wrong thing or anything like that because I just don't think we have all the information.
So
I don't think
my question,
any way we do.
Yeah, my question then to you would be, let's say that, and we don't know the full terms of the story, and so we're, speculating on this a little bit, but let's say that the Celtics come down with a full year-long suspension. At that point, you're going to have to look at an interim head coach. Is it just easier for the future of the franchise to cut ties with them completely?
Oh, man. Again,
it's a full year.
Again, I think it depends. I think it depends on what happened here. Like, if they're just really strict on, like, inner office romance, then that's one thing, right? That seems unlikely for a full year suspension. Again, it seems like there's something else there. So I don't know how to answer that until we know more about what happened. If they are that strict and this is just the punishment for an inter-office romance, then no, I think you come back from this clean because you'll have a fine, you'll have a fine court of public opinion perception. But yeah, I think you consider it if if this is something where the public is going to like cringe, right? But I don't know how to answer because this is a little bit unprecedented, right? When because all we've been told right now is this consensual relationship within the organization. I don't know anything about Udoka's personal life. None. Don't know if he's single. Don't know if he's married. Like, I don't know anything about him, right? So I don't know why this suspension would be so severe unless there's something else to it. And if that something else to it ends up being something that we're all going to say, oh my goodness, you know, like, good Lord, what is good? Then, yeah, I think you consider it. But, you know, right now this appears to be the path they're willing to take. I don't know, man. Again, it's a strange story.
Yeah, it's messy. And, you know, I think of other coaches in other leagues that have been, you know, suspended for an entire season. And the most recent one I can think of would probably be the Astros and the whole controversy in Major League Baseball a couple of years ago. You know, AJ Hinch, and of course these were league suspensions coming down from Major League Baseball entirely, but the Astros just completely cut ties with Hinch. Now it's apples and oranges. It's not the same situation entirely, but you know, Alex Cora, his involvement, he was suspended by the Red Sox, but he's back as their manager now. You know, so I'm trying to think of times where the only thing that stands out to me is that we're talking about a potential full season. Like if it was a partial, if he was suspended for a few games or a couple months or whatever, all right, you hang with them, you promote an assistant to interim coach for a little while, but a full year, depending on what level of involvement, if any, he can have with the organization during that year, might just be better off for the front office to say, look, we were high on you. We thought that you were, you know, a great coach. You've had success with us in your short time as head coach, but a full year is pretty extensive. We're going to have to go a different direction. Of course, we don't know the inner workings. We don't know the details, but I'm with you. Like, this is a weird story, and the fact that it is a full year, it just stands out to me.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's a story that I've got to just sort of shake my head at a little bit until we get more information. I'm going to hold out and not have a real take on it at this point. And I think
that's what
the information
we have real takes on things, right?
I know. I don't like to have hot takes if because I don't want to have a hot take today that could change tomorrow, right? Like
sure,
it seems like a harsh punishment, but I can't say that until we know what happened. And I'm going to guess that we're going to find out because it's a story very much in the spotlight. Another story not in the spotlight, and certainly a totally different story and one that we probably are more comfortable having a hot take on. Tommy, I saw you, and it's sort of an obscure Nebraska blog, but there was a thought right out on social media that the Huskers might be interested in Eric Bieniemy. I bring this up because that component of it is combined with now Lance Leipold doing a couple of more interviews where he seems more firm in his commitment to Kansas. So the Nebraska job is going to loom over this season for us around here heavy. Now for potentially another reason, do you think Nebraska would really be interested in Bieniemy? And how good a fit might that be? Bieniemy has college experience. Obviously, he's spent some time there, but that was an interesting one to me.
Yeah, that kind of came out of nowhere. So this is a Nebraska message board blog. It's called the Platinum Board. It's the only place that I've been able to find this so far. And so the good thing about me compared to you is that I'm not a reputable journalist. So I don't have to go and source, you know, my info and find a bunch of different confirmations and all of that. I found this is kind of an obscure blog, but the rumor is that Trev Alberts met with Eric Bieniemy on Monday night about the head coaching position at Nebraska. And he's not a name that has been brought up really at all by anybody else up to this point. And the more that I thought about it, if this is in fact true that he did meet with Trev Alberts, I love it. I think it's a great fit. Bieniemy had great success in college, of course, as a player with Colorado. He's had time coaching in the college ranks. And I think that this would be a good fit for him. And it's high profile enough that I think it makes sense for him to leave his role if he's offered this job to go to Nebraska. And so the more that I thought about it, and I don't know what your take is on this, but the more that I thought about it, I was like, why didn't we think of him in the first place? Like, this is a name that probably should have been on the list from day one.
Maybe. I've always said Bieniemy has the, you know, the swag that he is a motivator, and that plays in college, right? That plays well in college. The remember the all the drama swirling about Bieniemy, and, you know, was he really a good play caller, and was there a rift there, and all that stuff. I don't know what I would take away from that. Bieniemy seems like he'd be a really good recruiter to me, and I think we all feel like he's ready to lead a team in some capacity. So yeah, I mean, I could get on board with a Bieniemy hire. I think the fans would get on board with a Bieniemy hire. I don't know that it's what Nebraska needs. If I okay, so you're in the Nebraska big seat there, and you get to make the call. Would you rather have Bieniemy or Urban Meyer?
I think for a long-term fit, the more that I think about it, Bieniemy for sure. And again, I go back to me saying, the more I thought about it, I was like, why didn't I think of him in the first place? I think it's a really good fit. And I think the one thing that potentially stands in Bieniemy's way is the thing that it's kind of been a knock on him throughout the last couple of years as he's interviewed for head coaching positions. And there's this perception or this narrative, and I don't know how accurate it is. I've never sat in the room and watched him, but this narrative that he's not a very good interview. I don't know. I have no idea. That might be unfair. That's just what we've heard over the last couple of years. So I wonder if, again, and I have to stress, if this happened, because I don't know, we don't know for sure, that Trev Alberts met with Eric Bieniemy, you have to wonder how well that actually went. And if it stops there, I would imagine Trev Alberts is going to meet with a lot of different people. So you just have to wonder, all right, so he might have met with Eric Bieniemy, but how serious is the interest? How serious is it on both sides? And if it's there and he interviewed well and he's got a good idea on what direction he wants to take the program, I'm with you. I think he could be a really good recruiter. I think for a long-term play, Bieniemy's better. I think Urban Meyer gives you that jolt you need right now, but I don't think Urban Meyer's leaving Fox. I mean, he said as much that he's not interested in that.
Urban Meyer would leave being a broadcaster to be a head coach at a premier program again, I would think.
But isn't Nebraska a premier program?
Well, Big Ten program, yeah, probably. For him, yes. I mean, he's not going to get, you know, he's not going to get Florida again or Ohio State. But here's why I think Urban Meyer's a good fit. Is he the right long-term fit? Probably not, because everywhere he leaves, there's some sort of controversy, it seems like, when he leaves there, right? So long-term, no, but I don't know that Nebraska is going to be in a position where they can look to the long-term. I don't know if they're going to be able to go that route again and get the patience that they need, because, you know, Scott Frost was given an appropriate amount of time, certainly, but he wasn't the right hire. And fans are sort of becoming disinterested in turning on it when it's Scott Frost, right? So if you try to do a rebuild and you need, let's say it needs 3 years, which seems reasonable. Let's say you hire Bieniemy and he needs 3 years to really turn things around. You think they're going to really have the patience there and the ability to be patient enough to wait 3 years? That's why I don't think this is an attractive job for somebody like Lance Leipold. Because I don't know that fan base is ready right now to sort of throw in the towel on what's really needed there, and that is an entire rebuild. I don't think the fan base there is ready for that, because they thought they just went through that anyway. The reason I think Urban Meyer makes a lot of sense is because, say what you will about Urban Meyer and his NFL joke of a tenure notwithstanding, he's done this now like four times. Bowling Green, Utah, Florida, Ohio State, same result every time, right? Immediate success. And honestly,
so yeah,
Nebraska, like, maybe even if you knew it was going to end ugly for whatever reason, the short-term immediate success could set you up then to do things and have long-term success, a la Ohio State now, who's a perennial power without Urban Meyer. But let's not, you know, sugarcoat who brought them, you know, back to prominence. It was Urban Meyer.
Yeah, so I think that you can kind of equate a potential Urban Meyer hiring at Nebraska kind of along the same lines of Kansas hiring Les Miles, you know, trying to take a big swing, a national championship winning coach to come in and win the press conference and get donors excited, and a big name who can show off his ring to get recruits on campus and all of that in the short term. I think a lot of Kansas fans at the time were like, all right, yeah, you know, we can get on board with this. We're excited for the big name. He'll be here for a couple of years, and then he'll hand the program off in a better shape than the way that he found it. So I think that you can equate that. However, ultimately, that didn't work at Kansas. I'm not suggesting that it would be as big of a dumpster fire for Nebraska and Urban Meyer as it was for Kansas and Les Miles, but ultimately, I think it would end in a similar way where it's probably not going to work to the extent of the expectations that Nebraska fans have. And then at that point, then maybe they'll want to actually do a real big time rebuild in Nebraska. So that's my thought. Bruce Feldman from The Athletic and Fox Sports, he's reporting that Nebraska has three guys that are at the top of their list: Matt Campbell, Bill O'Brien, Lance Leipold. Those are the three names, according to Bruce Feldman, that Trev Alberts has, I guess, zeroed in on or lead the list as far as possible candidates. That's kind of what he's been reporting right now, is those three guys lead the list for Nebraska.
No, that's not good. That's not good. Where does Leipold rank on that list? I mean, that's the real question. Iowa State's 3-0. They're actually favored against Baylor at home this week, which surprised me a little bit. I think where Lance Leipold ranks on that list is pretty important. Is Nebraska going to be the job that finally pulls Matt Campbell away from Iowa State? Maybe. I mean, the money will be there, right? Like, Matt Campbell's last year was Iowa State's year. Bill O'Brien, I assume, would take it. What's Bill O'Brien even doing right now? Why is he so interesting to everybody?
Yeah, he's the offensive coordinator for Nick Saban right now. So, you know, that's part of it. But if
yeah, and those guys article, have success. Yeah, those yeah, rebounds have success.
Yeah, if the article from The Athletic tells you anything, and I'm looking at the tweet right now, the image that shows up when you link that article on Twitter is of Lance Leipold leading the Jayhawks into battle. The tweet from Bruce Feldman says, and this was 2 days ago, 10 days into Nebraska's coaching search, sources tell us that, and this is the order in his tweet, Lance Leipold, Matt Campbell, and Bill O'Brien are high on the Huskers list as Nebraska's process begins to unfold.
Lance Leipold has been more firm in his, you know, love for KU in the last couple of days than he was in the first time he was asked about this. The good news for Jayhawk fans is, no matter what, the team did not appear to be distracted by it last week. So that's the best news in the short term. In the long term, I don't know. I initially thought no chance. Then we thought, uh-oh, he wants that job. Now I don't know what to think. Let's just hope for Kansas fans that Nebraska doesn't zero in him as their top choice. I think that's where we can leave that, because it's going to be uncomfortable if he does end up being their top choice. 869-1240, the number here on Sports Daily. We'll continue on a Thursday edition. We'll look ahead to Thursday Night Football. What do we think about this game? Does it mean anything in the AFC? I think it could. I think it might. We'll talk about Thursday Night Football when we return.
Bob and Tom Mornings. This is KFH. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.